And hopefully this keeps. Man, we're good. Hey, and welcome to the delicious recipe here on a Thursday. And I have amazing guest, Augie. And you know what? This is a delicious recipe. We throw everything in the pot and we just see how it tastes at the end. And that's all we're worried about. And whether you like it or not, who cares? You can get your own stuff out of it. But Augie, hey, how about you tell people out here that people that they've heard you on Laura Lee's show, my wife's show there. But why don't you tell them a little bit about yourself there and how you came to be where you are?
Oh gosh, I don't even know where to start on that. I've been around a long time. I'm probably older than some of the hills around here, but I was born and raised in Europe, Northern Europe in Norway, and on a farm back there. And I figured out that's not what I wanted to do. So I left the country at 25, came to the US to go to flight school to become a commercial pilot, and I did that, got all my certificates and ratings, and me and a partner started a flight school, and that grew into an international air taxi and a commuter, actually an air carrier. And after 23 years of flying, I burned out, so I started doing other things and the exploration of the mine and doing radio shows and talking about some of the stuff that I have learned. And I have done that since. I've written a few books, and I have hosted and produced two TV shows in Tucson for 6 years. And I have many radio shows over the years. And now me and Nori Love is doing the broadcast team Alpha Show. And also we put together a mastermind group that well, I can tell you a little bit about later that we're doing some incredible things with. So anyway, here I am. It's just me.
And you've seen a lot of things and been involved with a lot of things. That's the whole part of this anyways is I was first time like Laura, my wife Laura Lee there's like she's been talking to you for quite a while, and she goes, "Oh, you gotta have to have Augie on your show." Is this? Oh, yeah. Says he's got all this information, and I was like, "Oh, this is great." I says, "This is." I actually know what. I actually know what I forgot to do. It says this is the name of the show. They're what is and what they want you to believe, and that's the whole big thing that I think that comes into this whole part of shows is that maybe our history isn't what we thought it was going to be, or maybe the history is hidden from us. And there's a question I'm going to ask you later on about the Smithsonian, but your show last Monday that I was part of there and listened to was about giants, and I was talking about giants, and the giants are the big, huge. I'm not sure why it may be coming up on my feeds, but it keeps on showing up. There is that giants, there's burial mounds around there that there was people that were bigger than the rest of us, and that was not a thing that was ever talked about.
I would say I guess first I gotta make a quick comment that people should really think about. If you think that fake news is bad, wait until you find out what history is like. Everything, just about everything that is written into the history books are either a flat lie or attached to one. Because the winner of the war always writes history, and not necessarily the good guys win the war all the time. So, when it comes to authority, they don't really care what we think. They just do their agenda. And you brought up the Smithsonian. There is an agenda. And that agenda, or part of that agenda, is that they want to hide our past from us so we don't know where we come from or what has happened in the past, what we have been involved with, how we were created, and anything to that matter is hidden. And I know there are some people that just might stumble on this show and they said, nah, if you can't trust your government, who can you trust? Yeah, good luck with that one. We got to
Yeah.
remember that the head of the CIA under Ronald Reagan, he said one time, right at the tail end of an interview, and he said, when we wake up one day and find that everything the American public knows is false, then we know our disinformation program is working.
Right. Isn't that the sort of like that Joseph Goebbels quote there, is that if you tell a lie long enough, people actually believe it. And then when people start to wake up, and this is the weird part that I think that's coming in there, is that when they use the word woke, is that you're actually not, that's another lie, right? It's a part about is being aware. Maybe it should be the new thing, is that being aware of what the reality is.
Yeah, speaking of Goebbels, actually, there's some science behind that because they did an experiment. They took 30 people and they told them the same lie for 30 days. I forget the number, but they were somewhere between 60 to 80% that by the time 30 days were gone, they actually believed the lie, even though they were told that it is a lie at the very beginning.
Right. And then his nephew Bernays, I think it was, Edward Bernays, or is it Brunel or whatever, he did the whole thing with the smoking thing there with the women in the US about the Liberty cigarettes, right? And he got them all working for big corporations to go and make money off of stuff. It says freedom cigarettes, that's what it was, freedom smokes. And it's just crazy how marketing and big corporations push people in this in a certain way, and then you listen to the mainstream media, the fake news or whatever, that like people want to downtrop or put down Donald Trump in that. He was calling them for that. I think he had his own agenda himself though, but he was actually saying this is these people are actually bad, like they're bad for you, and he was giving it to you there, and that's why we're the US is probably is in the situation they're in there. I didn't really want to go political on this stuff. We were going to talk about Bigfoot cryptids and other stuff there, but there's so much stuff that Laura Lee tells me that you have there, like this great knowledge, and I'd love to pick your brain.
Well, I don't even know where to start with that one because it goes so deep. And
Yeah.
on your way down to the depth of that, you very often lose people, but that's okay because they always will remember what was said. And later on, they may find a nugget over here and another one over there somewhere, and they start fitting it together. And then they think back on that outrageous thing that I said maybe a year or two earlier. And they said, now it's starting to make sense. So I don't mind of going that deep because it can help later, even if people do not accept it right now. If I make an outrageous statement, something like, we might live in a mind-created universe, just kind of a virtual reality, maybe a computer, somewhat similar to a computer program, being a self-aware, mind-created, holographically generated universe. What would you say?
And now you're seeing now with Facebook making a metaverse.
I'm sorry.
Oh.
That's what I get for not turning the phone off.
That's okay. I had technical difficulties there before we even started there, so
Yeah.
technology.
I know it.
Hey, do you remember when you used to have to go and use the phone down in the house, and there was only one phone in the house?
Yeah.
Right? Now everybody has a phone with a computer and a camera and everything in their pocket.
Yeah, we were some of the first people in our community back in Norway that got a phone. When I was a little kid, our phone number was three.
Actually, remember when I was just out at camp last week, camp cottage, whatever you want to, it's just a extra house there, and that my mom has. So it's not mine, it's my mom's. But out there when we built it, we were on a party line, so the phone used to ring differently for each house that went around. So, but anybody could pick up the phone and listen to your conversation if they wanted to. That was sort of
Yeah, I know all how that worked. Yeah. But back to this computer program that we just be living in. There's actually some science to that, some evidence of it. There is a there's a theoretical physicist named James Gates, and he discovered a form of computer code embedded deep in the equations explaining the fabric of space and time. And he says that is ones and zeros. We did not place them there, and they are too organized to be put there by random. It is put there by an intelligence. So if there is computer language in the equations explaining the fabric of space, you are in this fabric of space, I'm in there. What are we? We are part of that particular computer program.
Right.
So now the question is then, how did this happen? And who, I'm more concerned about, who's sitting at the computer? Isn't
Right.
that interesting to know?
This almost gets into that whole movie idea of the Matrix, right? Like,
Yep.
are we in this part of the, this is the whole part about reality and what are we actually involved in?
Yeah, I think I found out who's sitting at the computer.
Did you? Okay, who is it?
I'm sitting here looking at him.
Oh,
You
me?
and me. We are sitting at the computer.
Oh, really, eh?
Because if we are in a mind-created universe, our mind is involved in doing that.
Right.
Our mind is tapped into the universal mind, actually, which we are an offshoot of, with given some form of individualized perception. So within that individualized perception and capability of creating mental images and physical images, we take the source, which is a commonly accepted floor of potentiality from where we can create.
Okay.
We take that, run it through our mind, and decide what do we want to create in our reality, and that is what we create.
Okay.
Look at that. People that think negative all the time, they hardly ever have anything positive in their life, and a totally positive thinking person have a lot more positive thinking in their life. So we are responsible for what we have around us, what we do, what we feel, even if we feel like somebody took advantage of us and screwed us over. Somewhere in our mental fabric, we allowed for that to happen because we create everything around us. That other person that screwed you over is in your reality.
Okay. Yep.
So we are involved in that creation.
Okay, now here comes the tricky part here is that how does because this is the topic of the show and we were trying to get into was the part about Bigfoot cryptids and all these other little people and stuff like that are out there that have been through the lore through a lot of time. So how does everybody have a sort of a shared memory then?
Well, because we also keep hearing that we are one.
Okay.
And since we live in that mind-created universe, our creation becomes part of the creator because we created it. And in the physical, we don't see that connection, but there's some science behind that too. And that we hear Greg Braden, he speaks of a virtual reality that we are living in. And then the spiritual teachers from way back in antiquity, they are talking about the fact that we're one and we can create anything we want in our reality. But how can that be, though? How can we really create anything we want in our reality? I bet right now I would want a Rolls Royce sitting in my driveway tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock.
Well, that's a material thing, though, right? So, like, yeah, you'd want something that's like, hey, I want good health or something like that.
Right? And we can do that too. It is well within our reach. But it all depends on the power and the conviction of the mind doing the creation.
Right. And that was the part that Laura Lee was telling me about, your show that goes on about the mind getting a bunch of people together and thinking the same way. Yeah. And I thought that was very interesting. And I've heard that I've heard that in other things, but it's a very interesting concept. And I think, well, that's how religion works, right? Religion, when they do that laying on hands and get a bunch of people praying on somebody, right? And hey, we cured cancer here on this person. And I think we don't know what our minds can actually do. Correct.
The laying of hands, actually, a lot of nuts and bolt people, you know, they laugh at that, but it is a real thing. There is a doctor named Larry Dossey. He wrote a book called, Prayer and Laying of Hands and Prayer is Good Medicine, or something to that effect. He researched some well over 100 different cases where people was prayed over and was healed. And that works if it is done right. If you're just sitting around the kitchen table and holding hands and say, well, God, I really need $211,000 to pay off my house. Otherwise, I'm going to get evicted by Thursday. Okay, pass the butter, Martha. I'm hungry. That's not going anywhere.
Right. People want material things. Their prayers aren't right. When you're talking about energy flow and transfer, that could be something more positive that can actually be explainable or positive, right?
The energy that you're talking about is created in the mind. And here, the mind, the brain, and the heart.
Right.
Create that interface with the universal mind that does the creation for you and bring it into the physical. So if we
Augie, I says, do you think that there's a lot of talk about music or not music or tonal and vibrational stuff there? That's why a lot of stuff in history has been about certain songs and tones and humming, and like the Chinese have that, the Tibetans do, where they do these deep tones, even in Australia where they do these vocalizations to create energy. Do you think that's part of it, maybe, or maybe that's a myth?
That's the result of it.
Okay.
And see, I mentioned the mastermind before. The definition of a mastermind is when two or more minds are united in harmony, they create a third mind. That mind has the potential mind power of the two or more of them multiplied by each other. So if 1,000 people get together, concentrate in visualized images with emotion and feeling and directed towards a certain thing or concept, they can affect that thing or concept at a distance, just as well as one mind that is powerful enough. But if you have many, it becomes stronger. A good example on that is one of the best. We have done some things too when we have bent the laws of physics. and done things that should not happen, but it did. But right about, I think, 1997 or so, Art Bell, on his radio show Coast to Coast AM, he did a mind experiment where he, the Texas was burning up because it hasn't rained for about 4 months or so. And there were brush fires everywhere. Cattle was dying because there were no water and all kinds of trouble down there. So Art Bell asked the listening audience, visualize rain over Texas. I was listening that night and I participated. During the rest of that night and the next day, there were thunderstorms all over Texas. There were rain, there was rain become, cattle got water again and the brush fires went out. And the weather forecasters came out and said, we are dumbfounded because this should not have happened. There were no moisture in the computer models anywhere that could create this rain, but it happened. So they didn't understand. I did, because our mastermind of 15 million people created that rain.
I probably believe that there's a pro that that's probably a an occurrence that happens at the end. But you know what, the one part is, though, now you'd have I'm going to go on the skeptical mind, is because Dubai can create rain every week. And they say that technology is about 50 years ahead of us that we know. And so out of that part there, I would go, it says, I believe energy is, I totally agree with you. It says, I think energy helps do things and you can create things with that. But how do you think that technology might be influencing stuff? It says, hey, well, we'll just go and push some rain over here just so these guys believe that what they're doing is right. Just for the non-believers to get the other side of it.
Oh, absolutely. They've been manipulating the rain since back in the 1960s. They did that in Vietnam.
Right, yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, they flew over the clouds and dropped dry ice into it, and they that was so cold that moisture in the clouds just dumped itself on the ground, and that's what they wanted to go in and do their stuff because they knew
Right.
that the Viet Cong, they ran home and hid when it was raining. They didn't want to be out in the murk.
Yeah.
So no, they've been doing that, and right now the HAARP technology, they have them now. They closed down the one in Alaska. Now they have them on boats, and they triangulate and they create pressure situations that rises air and dumps air. So you can create high pressure, low pressures, and a ridge of them, so that you can create weather patterns, and we see that now. Some of the stuff that is happening in the weather here.
I
So,
saw the one that they were showing on in China, in the northern part of China, manipulating the northern jet stream that's pushing it away and stuff like that. And I didn't know they had them on boats there now. That's more than possible. Well, you would know, you're connected to a lot more people than I am. But
Yeah, I know. And it's
that's the thing when you have dark scientists experimenting on the planet, and then people are wondering why your trailer park is flooded, and you have to go back to the bank because it's all about this, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it's all about. Well, at least in the Western world.
Yeah. Well, it's across
Well,
everything now. They want globalist, right? It's a global clock. They want to push it that direction.
but this mastermind is pretty simple to create.
Oh,
And
yeah.
if somebody want to be part of it, they can come and join us and participate in this, because we do things with healing. We do it with creating abundance, and we're using the word abundance because it encompasses so much more than just this.
Right. Well, you're
And
looking for like a spiritual and energy abundance, correct? To yeah, then I thought it was actually awesome. I really enjoyed the show I watched. It was great. And I encourage anybody else to go and listen to it. It was really good.
Now, that was an educational thing. You haven't even seen the mastermind yet. That's on Sundays. So you just come and visit on that one too. But what people can do to join minds like this and become a lot more powerful than they are by themselves, because when you create that mastermind, it becomes an energy. It's not just a thought anymore. It is an energy that can alter physical reality. And we've done a lot of that, and we have some of that on our page. But you send us an email if you want to be part of this to themastermindconnection@gmail.com. Themastermindconnection@gmail.com. And for those of you that are still running around trying to find a pen here and a piece of paper, you should have thought, when I talk, you always need that. And so, then, let me just go one step further and tell people how they can create a mastermind in their home, because the most powerful mastermind is the one when there is unity of minds, there is peace, there is harmony, and there is a common acceptance of what we want to have to happen. Mm-hmm. That is often in a family. When a family can, let's say, if you have a family of two, that's good. That's okay. You can create a mastermind of two. It is more powerful than one. And when you decide what you want, that is very important. And then feel it. Try to visualize it. And share maybe words of impressions of how
it goes
you
forward, right?
Place it in the future, like something that you would want to happen not too far in the future, because then you gotta wait, but
right.
Just place it in the future at a time-coded event. Forget the calendar, is worthless to the
little
universe.
Baby steps,
yeah. Then calendars are worthless. Just like a time-coded event, like a Christmas party, New Year's party, birthday party, a graduation, or anything that you can see other people involved in it that also will enjoy it with you. Because whenever you create something, there's something in universal law about this should be for the benefit of more than three people. So
okay,
now
there's the key. Now you got three. This is a key three that's been all through history, right?
Yeah, there's something about that three. And now you go back and visit that thing you created in your mind every day, every time, maybe several times a day if you are really been held on getting it. And then when you do that, you lay down attractor strings to it. Little white strings on the etheric level of existence where it draws you up that timeline to that thing that you created and placed in the future. When you create it like this and place it in the future, you give it a low form of life. This thing you placed in the future, it is there. It is real on a higher level of existence. So now you can go back and forth and you start drawing it back to you into the physical. In the meantime, it will help if you start doing also everything you know how to do to help the universe bring it to you. Start looking around for people that can maybe help you do it.
Right, setting goals.
Yeah, goals in the form of people and situations and things to open up for you, doors to open. Strange things happen. It may come from a totally different angle than what you expected it to come from. And don't put too many limitations on it. And also, if you are looking for a creation of resources, try to put into your, let's say that you want to put into your image family involved and family being there enjoying it, so that your grandfather don't have to die in order for you to create these resources.
Right. Yeah, waiting for an inheritance
in the image that you have.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think that's perfect. Like, hey, just look forward towards what you want and make that possible, and take resources that you need around you that are not take, but welcome in resources that are going to help you to reach your goals.
And another thing too that I'm big on, I talk about it quite a bit. In fact, I wrote a book where I explained very detailed about what how this can happen, and that is that everybody is told because of religion that we're all gonna grow old and gray and we're gonna die one day. Yeah, chances are it might happen. But not for me. That is not in my timeline. Now,
So how old are you now, Augie? Are you like 200?
about a month or so, I'm no.
I'm just playing.
In
I
here, I am 35.
don't.
But
Oh, for sure.
the,
I told you when we were talking before the show. I says I'm still like 13. I have such a dark sense of humor, and
no,
I'm
you
just
took. You're just a snot-nosed kid.
yes.
Now, I'm 76 in another month, but the thing about it is that I don't accept aging and I don't accept death. I don't go to funerals. And the thing about it is, in 2009, three doctors got the Nobel Prize for discovering an enzyme that reverses the aging process. And I am doing that, and it's working for me. I
Yeah,
have more
that's
energy than anybody I know, my half my age. I work 12, 16 hours a day, and
excuse
it works for me. I'm fine. I enjoy it. So the thing about it is that once it's up here, you find solutions. I found that this enzyme will actually reverse the aging process in the body together with epigenetics, which is a form of mind can create reality.
Is that sort of like the how the Indi or the East Indian this whole energy sphere works? Well, working with the chakras or the energy spheres all through the body, that you can actually heal yourself working down or working within that. There's it's unbelievable. It's like even with the whole part about, I guess the whole thing is that people have energy and they don't understand. Like even in the Chinese medicine, they used to do this energy healing and stuff like that and create heat. And that I think there's a little bit in all these parts. I think people are missing it in all the way through. I'm not sure if this is something that was old that was lost.
Oh,
Like
we've been
maybe,
brainwashed. That's why.
yeah.
We've been brainwashed to believe that the doctor is God's younger brother, and he's not. It's not even a distant cousin. So, what it really, for those of you that is interested in this fact that you can rebuild the body, is don't take my word for it. Go to the Nobel Committee's website. Go to 2009. Scroll down to medical submissions and read the papers. You're gonna like it because in there it explains how actually what the experiments they did reversed the aging of the subjects and the animals and so on what they were working on. Now that was in 2009. A lot more have happened right now. And if you want to see what I am doing, you can find it in this book. I
There we
explain how
go.
spiritual science, higher conscious thinking, and how to access the universal consciousness. Boy, I'm
Yep,
pretty
there it is. Yep, it's showing
seafood
up.
here. Spiritual science, higher conscious thinking, and how to access the universal consciousness. I explain what I do, and there is this enzyme that will lengthen the telomeres at the end of the chromosomes that will hold the genetic code together so the cells will be able to replicate themselves. Because if the telomeres get so short that they're no longer there, then the end of the chromosomes start fraying and the cells will no longer be able to replicate themselves, and you get stuck with old cells in the body, and you'll be old, and you eventually will die. Now,
Right,
this
yep.
can be reversed, and that's what I'm talking about in the book. And if people want to know more about that, go to broadcastteamalpha.com. We also have some shows on it that'll explain a little more if you're into the shows there. So,
well, like this is a great book, and we'll give it back to that there again there. But you know what? One thing is that you've seen a lot of stuff. I've watched a lot of things that Laura's even sent me a lot of stuff. There is that, you know, people can do amazing things. I watched a guy swim in freezing water for 2 hours, and it's just a whole this conditioning and changing the body energy. And is that sort of similar what your book is?
Yeah, I also seen a video of a guy in Finland that he got in the there were ice on the lake.
Yeah,
the temperature below was somewhere around, I don't know, well, above freezing, so probably 3 or 4 degrees, something like that, centigrade.
Right.
And he got in one hole, he swam 75 meters and got up in another hole and underwater.
Mm-hmm.
And he came back and he was fine. So there are mental techniques that you can do.
Mm-hmm.
And these mental techniques, they all is caused by your belief of what you create.
Right.
He raised the temperature of the water around him in his mind. He totally believed that.
Mm-hmm.
And when I said we are in a mind-created universe, let me try to prove that to you. With
okay.
Just logic.
Yep.
I'm a hypnotist, and if I put you in a soft chair and talk to you for about 10, 15 minutes, and I tell you when you wake up, you will see an elephant standing next to you in the room. Okay, I snap my finger, bring you back out, and you look over, and there's the elephant. You reach out, touch his snout. You can feel the rough skin. You can hear
it. You're calling Laura elephant? Okay.
No. No, on the other side. No, but the elephant is there for you. He's totally real. You can feel him. But there's a problem. I can't see the elephant because there's no elephant there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what happened? Did your real world go away? What's the difference between that world with the elephant in it and the world you are sitting in right now?
Mm-hmm.
Is there a difference? Not really. That elephant is totally real to you.
Right, it's perception and manipulation, right?
Yeah, this desk is totally real to me.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing that I think that happens there right now. As I said, with governments, they use the prestige, the magic, right? It's all a big magic trick to go and basically manipulate the audience that's out there. And who's the audience? The population. They get richer while you get poorer, and they take away everything that you had. I've said this before, a potato 50 years ago is still the same potato today. Why is it costing so much? Because of government manipulation that caused inflation. Inflation is a problem of the rich trying to go and suck more out of you. They're like vampires.
Yeah.
And well, now you got the world. Now you have the world government. But I didn't want to go political. But anyways, it's just that whole part there. Once you started talking about magic, I go, oh, this goes back to my magic thing that I've been doing for 2 years. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, the thing is that the world we are living in is nothing like it appears to be.
Okay. So now here we go in. This is the whole part about what it is that we. What they tell you and what they don't. It said, so where does Bigfoot, cryptids, little people, and all that fit into this that has been the lore for thousands of years?
Well, we have the physical evidence of that they exist.
Right, yep.
We have, in fact, it probably is about 3 to 4 years ago now that they found there was a rock that they found in Antarctica, and it had a crack in it. So somebody broke it open, and inside there is a fossilized human skeleton. That is 11 inches tall. It's perfect human skeleton
Right.
inside that rock.
That's amazing.
And then again, we have bones showing that there are people that have been 9 foot tall. I just did one of those there in the mastermind.
Yep.
And we have 12 foot tall people that we've found in mummies. There's pictures. I got 5,000 unbelievable pictures on Broadcast Team Alpha. Of things that shouldn't exist, but it does. And then we have parts of a human skeleton that belonged to somebody that was 32 foot tall.
Right.
And we have footprints in rock that is of length that will belong to a person that is about 34 foot tall. There's one in South Africa.
Right.
So these things do exist, and then of course there are other things that is bigger. There are stone formations that look like heads or bodies of people that might have been hundreds of feet big. So these things do exist. There's no way to get around it. Science, as we know, has always tried to explain it away that, gee, that's a great coincidence.
Well, the church wanted to say is Nephilim. There was giants. They put it in the Bible. Then you have these other parts that you got in East India. There was the jinn. They were magic that they lifted things. Hey, maybe all this stuff can be true. Even the part with the little guy that has the gold, the leprechaun. They w wanted to go in. That was part of the church saying that the Irish were tiny people that carried gold around, but they were actually big people that were a fierce force. It was a whole disclaimer, or not disclaimer. It was a whole thing that belittle these people, and that's the part about history, right? Whoever is, you said this at the beginning. I've said this to myself, is that whoever is in control writes the narrative of the story. And now we're in the time there right now, they're trying to rewrite history again. And I think history is so important. Like, I hated history in school because it was so dry, but I've been soaking it up for 20 years going through stuff, and I trying to find the real stuff, right?
We are doing five segments of the real history of the universe and our solar system and the Earth on the mastermind. We're done with the second one now. We're going to the third one next time, and that explains an awful lot of the things that we're not supposed to know about. And besides that, it's if we look at history, we can look back. We know something isn't right because the winner of the war always writes history,
Right, yeah.
and not necessarily the good guy who wrote it.
Oh, that's totally correct. That we've seen that in Well, there was a part there. I watched a documentary about this, says that when they do archaeological digs, they only go down so far till you hit a certain layer. And then another person went down a little bit further and says, "Well, what's all this stuff?" "Oh, don't talk about that." Right? So this okay, so here comes the question. Who started the Smithsonian?
That's been around for some 170 years, a very long time, and it was started as a museum, and of course it still is, but it's a
Is
lot
it part of the Queen of England?
more. I don't know about that. It's an American, or should I say now, it's corporate institution under the corporate United States.
Okay.
So Yeah, so I don't know if she had anything to do with that. I don't know that. I know I hear that, but I'm not necessarily buying it. It could
Because
be.
there's a lot of stories about even all these archaeological digs with the giants, that these giant mounds, and they're finding these huge bones, and the Smithsonian comes in and they just take everything away and it's gone. So who's doing that?
Smithsonian got sued about 2 years ago, 2 3 years ago, and they lost the suit. The suit was about somebody that wanted information about all the giant skeletons that Smithsonian has extracted from around the world, brought to Washington and destroyed. But they have pictures of them. They wanted those things and they wanted the actual artifacts as well. And Smithsonian, they defended themselves saying that, well, we don't really have anything. Well, they were proved otherwise as liars in the court. And the Supreme Court ruled that you have to release the information to whoever asks for it. So, yes, the giants, they exist. I have a picture of a human skull on broadcastingalpha.com in the picture
Yep,
gallery.
I saw it. It was awesome. Yeah, I
Yeah, it
loved it.
was huge. I mean, there was a guy standing next to it, and the skull was as almost as tall as he was.
So that would explain a lot of things there in history, like how these big, huge stone structures might have been built, maybe. That's just speculation, theory out of that part there, but if we're finding, like, I think the last documentary I saw that somebody had done that there was over 3,600 mounds found in the U.S. just alone, just in the U.S. of giant burial mounds, and with multiple giants that were from anywhere from 8 to 12 feet tall, and some even larger than that, and you have to just sort of shake your head and go, okay, well, why wasn't this ever taught in school?
I know. And also think about it, in school, they mold your mind the way they want you to be later as an obedient servant of the master, which they think is the government and corporations.
I have this thing that I've said this on Laura Lee's show, and I've said this on mine multiple times. It says, as a child, you always ask why. You go to school, you're told the questions and the answers to that. You don't ever ask why anymore. When you get out of school, you stop asking why. You don't even know why you're even, you don't know why is there, right? It's the Pink Floyd song, Another Brick in the Wall. You just walk the line, right?
Yep, I tell you right now, going to college, it's not paying off anymore. I'm on first name with three billionaires, and only one of them have a college degree. And the thing is that college degrees right now, they are educating you, and you become a perfect for a job at McDonald's because that's about the only place you would really qualify very well. Now they are the business structures of the world is changing. What you learn in college is obsolete by the time that you get out into the working life. And I know, I mean, I have friends right now without a college degree. The one guy, I just talked to him here the other day. He's making well over $100,000 a year being a pilot. And all the education you need is about a year to get all the certificates of ratings, kind of like what I did. And from there on, you just work. In the beginning, you don't make a lot, but a few years into it, you're making a good living. And from there on, get into the bigger equipment, and you have, well, it's a wonderful career. And
Yeah,
then again,
I think skilled trades is the best. I think
college
it
does not teach you how to go in business for yourself.
no.
That's something that you got to look elsewhere to find out. There is a book out there called Universal Success Principles and How Billionaires Think. If you find that book, I wrote it. You will find out what it takes to become very wealthy in business for yourself.
Okay, we're almost, we got 1 minute left here. There, Augie says, so tell them where they can find you. Tell them where they can find all your books. And I really like to have you back on because I think we can go a lot further and a lot more stuff there.
Okay.
So we got about 1 minute.
No, that's good. That's about 45 seconds more than I need. Here's a book, Spiritual Science, Higher Conscious Thinking, and How to Access the Universal Consciousness. You'll find me on broadcastteamalpha.com. Mm-hmm. And also, if you want to be part of a mastermind and do some incredible things, send us an email to themastermindconnection@gmail.com. And I'll get you a link and some information so you can come and join us.
Awesome. I really appreciated you coming on there. And I know we're just going somewhere there. And I was like, too bad my show's only 1 hour. But yeah. Anyways, here we go. This is the Delicious Recipe here tonight on a Thursday. And we'll see you next week.
Thank you, and